Welcome to Brands Talking Influencers Q&A. We're taking our fireside chat to the Grin Gets Real podcast. Now you can listen and learn beyond the webinar experience. Now, during our fireside chat, I sat with Greg and Matt from Nutrabolt. We dove into the foundation that they've set up to build the influencer marketing machine that they already have. During our fireside chat, they took us through their influencer outreach funnel, also known as IOF. A little side note, Greg also happens to be the king of inventing acronyms, as well as taking us through the importance of investing in creating the right workflow to help foster long-term relationships with influencers. Taking a silver linings approach to how many people they engage with, they don't just say yes or no to influencers, they ask how. Put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for a little influencer marketing Q&A with Greg and Matt.
All right, Greg, Matt, thank you, and welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast. I definitely enjoyed our conversation during our fireside chat at Brands Talking Influencers, and I'm ready to dive into the questions. I don't know about you guys. You prepped? You ready? You pumped?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Excellent. All right, so let's start off with the first one. We've done a few influencer campaigns, and generally sales are attributed to only a handful of influencers per campaign. Ideally, we want to invite the top performers to become ambassadors. But in your case, when you take applications from website, email, or ads, how much time do you give them to generate sales before putting them on the activation squad?
I think that's a really good question. I mean, in terms of time frame, obviously, once we accept an individual into the program, you have to put in that little window too for them to get their products. So generally, I would say maybe like 2 to 3 months, 3 months or so, probably to give them a little time to associate their page with the brands and then get their promo code and links out there. So I think 3 months is a good time frame when you should start seeing some sales come in. And that way you can really get a good gauge on what the performance will be and how much he or she can generate.
Yeah, one thing that we do is when we're adding somebody into our ambassador program, we're equipping them with products for which they can post about. We're also giving them examples of content that we know is successful. We're giving them best practices. We have a best practice guide. Use your discount code in your bio because we know the data shows us that's driving between 75 and 85% of sales on a monthly basis for us. So we equip them with all the tools to make a sale. And it sounds like, Atra, from this question, They are giving them time to make a sale and then adding them to a campaign.
Yeah.
What we do is we add them into the campaign and we say, here's your discount code, here's your products, here's the support to help you drive awesome content for your community and a commission to support you. And after a few months, if it's not something that's a good fit, if it's not panning out, and we've had some people that say, you know what, I don't know if I want to have a coupon code in my bio, I don't know if it's something that I'm going to be really excited to post about after doing it a couple times. We've had people that then say, can I just join the activation squad and help out and get posts for product? We say, absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't say yes, no, we say how. And that's another way that we can also keep people engaged as part of our family. And so for us, we want to give people all the support and the ammo up front so that they can go make the content that's going to be that win-win situation for them and also us.
Yeah, I also think that it's really, it's not about like the quick, like, did they give me sales, right, after this campaign? Ideally, let's say this campaign runs for what, I don't know, like 2-3 weeks, depending on what type of campaign it is. You know, the expectation that you're going to have a majority of your sales in the 2-3 weeks, while ideal, is also based on the customer journey and how many touch points a consumer needs in order to make that decision. It's better to go big with your campaign and then wait it out. So I really like that you said, give it 3 months to like really truly evaluate whether it's going to get you revenue or not. People need some time to be able to make that decision.
Exactly. And I think just an important piece to add to is when like initial conversations with an ambassador, like you never want to focus and hammer down on, hey, you need to perform, you need to generate sales. Yeah. It's really like, how can me and my team support you? We even take the time to set up a call internally with our social team. What can our team also do to support you? Or what kind of guidelines can our social team give you so we can potentially repost some of your content on our page and drive traffic to your page? So again, it's like, how can we support you? What do you need from us? And in the long term, that will eventually generate the sales that we're looking for.
The other thing too, there's two things. One, so our ambassador program is an always on campaign. It's not something that we have a finish line on. So this campaign, we've set it up as, hey, here's everyone that we're inviting into this program. We're able to track and see their activity once they join the program. We've only had one campaign that's been, here's when it starts and here's where it ends, for one of our product launches, which was very successful. But for our campaigns that are driving the majority of our revenue, it's our always on. We just measure it with, you know, like Matt said, with the cadence, checking every now and then and make sure that we're equipping them. The other thing too that's really important that I think a lot of people overlook is if you are working with influencers who are not from a conversion sales type of background, it's a new language that they need to learn. And so I'd encourage everybody, and Matt and I love to do this, if somebody makes their first sale, DM them and congratulate them. I used to work in a GNC, and I will tell you right now, learning how to guide people down the path of which product to purchase and consume and put in their body, it's not something that just you can flip a switch and it's fluent.
Yeah.
It takes time, it takes reinforcement, and it takes encouragement. So I'd encourage everybody here, find a way where you can actually reward verbally or in a written way when somebody makes that first sale. When you get somebody to believe in you after you've done something, a switch goes off and they say, oh my gosh, wait, that's it? This was really, really scary, but it's working. I can do that again.
Yeah.
And then it just snowballs from there. So I really encourage everybody to have a think on that.
We're all humans. It's nice to hear nice stuff. You know, and like you're doing a good job. I am kind of curious though, because you guys have talked about like that one-on-one relationship. Do you guys do something from a community standpoint for like both of your cohorts? Like I know that there are some brands that will have monthly or quarterly webinars or like very specific newsletters. Some even have like private Instagram accounts for people who are part of like their program. Do you guys do something very similar to kind of help support the community as a whole?
Yeah, so what we're doing, this is part of our kind of Q3 optimization. We spent 6 months really growing the program and just listening and saying, okay, let's listen and observe and just learn, not be reactive with what support we need. We're doing a couple things now, which I'm super excited to get off the ground, and it's probably going to be in August. We are going to have a webinar or a live cast, as I like to call them, where we're able to connect with all of our influencers on a Zoom call, on a Microsoft Teams call. But we want to present to them, you know, hey, we've been growing this program, and here's what we've learned in the first 6 months, reinforcing things like the best practices, having your code in your bios, the optimal number of frames in a story that we're seeing, the best way to pitch some of these top-selling products, giving them a behind-the-scenes look into new flavors and new formats that are coming out. We want these people to be really excited. We have some huge launches that unfortunately we can't talk about today, coming up before, but like we want everyone that we can to feel like that engaged community there. Matt's also built an Instagram page that allows us to connect with everybody. It's a private group. Everyone's already on that platform, so that works well.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to be just doing the basics. We've got a SurveyMonkey account, and we're going to be releasing a survey every 3 months that just says, tell us how we're doing. Do you like the way that we email? Do you like the way that we send out products? Do you like the cadence in which you hear from us? What can we be doing better? Because you need that collective mind thing to really, really elevate the platform, what you're doing. So it's really not rocket science on this. It's just doing the right thing is the right thing. And find ways and places that your audience already exists and connect with them at scale there and just build the system so you can get mass amounts of feedback straight to your desktop. And that's what we're doing.
Now, do you have advice for brands that carry more luxury products like a sofa or a rug, for example? Would you suggest that the brand offer the influencer free products to get them on board?
Ooh, that's a good one. Matt, what would you do in Matt's Marconi's Furniture LLC?
It's funny. I would probably have them send the product for free. It's the only issue you could run into is if the certain influencer has no need for the product or doesn't want it, you might get some pushback on that. But I feel like a commission structure would kind of be tough for a certain luxury product like that. So I think it's just finding the right influencer, push that specific product, and people like free stuff. So if you're saying no to something for free, it's probably just not the right fit. But having like the actual product in their house and they could, again, going live or posting, it just makes it easier for them to develop their content.
Yeah, I think at some point, you know, we're happy to make the investment of our products to send them out to our influencers. In fact, we've gotten a lot of times, I think Sadiq lately, one of our new athletes has been like, guys, my first floor is all your boxes. What's going on with this? Like, but hey, we love the family and we want some of these, you know, even if you have influencers that you want to just, I call it go on Robin Hood duty, where like for us, we love to have our athletes just with stuff in their gym bag, you know, in their car. So if they run into some super fans, like, oh yeah, by the way, did you try this yet? Like it just, it makes somebody's day and it's a great experience for everyone. I think honestly, yeah, Matt said it best. I mean, get the product into the hands of the people that you want to review it and talk about it. If you go on YouTube right now, you're seeing, you know, that's par for the course. You're going to get much higher adoption. If you feel like there's an influencer who's going to give you great content and still be excited to get something at a discount and you can pull that off, tip of the cap. For us, for the cogs on our products, we're happy to make sure that, you know, we're building that investment every single month and make it happen. But yeah, case by case basis, I think at the end of the day, get the product in their hand and that's the foundation for them to make awesome content.
I definitely think so too. And there are a couple of things that I want to call out from both of your responses. From Matt, like it really is with the right influencer, right? Like you lean on your vetting process. You can't send a luxury product to a rando. I don't know what I'm going to get, but if you've properly vetted someone, it's a lot easier, no matter what that price range is on your product, to be able to send them out. And then also that goes to your point, Matt, as well, too. Like overstocking someone just means they're going to share it out. But oftentimes, I think the tough part about that as a marketer is that you're always being held to like attribution, right? Okay, show me that I'm going to get a return on investment on maybe oversending a product for someone to have that in their hands. And I always lean on like, that's how you create that halo effect. I know that I've been gifted some things. I'm definitely not an influencer. But I most definitely talk about it nonstop. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. It gets product in other people's hands that would not normally have that. But what do you say to the people who are looking for that attribution back?
You know, to use your example, okay, so we send out a product for our athletes that they can give away. And then you have the person who's sitting in front of an Excel spreadsheet going, how is this supporting our business? Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yes, yes, exactly. I'm defending, you know, my existence in the market.
No, super fair, super fair. There needs to be a top-down conversation about, okay, what investment are we making into growing the brand?
Yeah.
Because that is an investment. And there's, I can plug a Gary Vee quote, like there's always ROI, there's return on investment, and then there's RLR, there's return on relationship. So think about it, if I get, you know, if we have one of our athletes giving out a product that we sent them, they have it in access and we want them to be able to give great memories and experiences to consumers, that goes a long way. Yeah, I can't quantify that in an Excel cell. I can't say, hey, our athlete gave out this can and then 2 months later somebody bought it. But what I can say is that action is getting people to try our product. Chances are we know that we have incredible tasting flavors that they're going to love and they're going to be interested and think about our brand. You know, it's a different form of an impression.
Yeah,
it's one that doesn't have a digital footprint connected to it, but we know that that halo effect is what works. And there's been brands left and right that have proven that out, that like you want to get the people talking. Word of mouth advertising is the most trusted form of advertising. Yes. And in our business specifically, you know, I can bore you with a rant of how this used to work in thousands and millions of years ago, but we're in the industry where people are consuming products and putting things in their body. They want to ask other people who have tried it and who are recommending it. Absolutely. As part of human nature. That kicks on. You can't quantify that conversation, but it's going to happen. And so being able to set up our team who are an extension of our brand to give that great experience, that's always going to pay off tenfold. And you just have to have people that understand that at the top, you know, the people that are sitting in front of the spreadsheets. Maybe you're not saying, hey, what's the return on every single can that we give out? But what I can say is, what's the investment that you're willing to make so I can go hand these out and give great experiences, which is going to help, you know, elevate the brand in totality? That's the conversation that they should be having.
Absolutely. I love that top-down conversation. All right, next question. How do you relate this program that you have to a sports and entertainment company?
So what I would say is for sports and entertainment, you know, I'm just going to make a couple assumptions here. If it's, you know, promoting an event, if it's promoting like a media service, sports and entertainment, it's kind of vague, so I'm trying to unpack this from a couple angles. Number one, I would say whatever product or service you're looking to market, connect with the influencers that you feel are going to authentically want to use and participate in your product or service, because they are going to be able to tell the story, the authentic story of the benefit that you are providing. If it's, hey, here's this huge match that's coming up, or if it's, you know, here's this awesome channel or service that you are offering, unpack the benefits and the value points that the consumer would want to learn about and have it be in an authentic tone. I'll tell you right now, I'm not that dude, as you can clearly deduce from this answer. So please do not reach out to me because I will be terrible for you. But find people that are, you know, who are the people that are participating in your business already? What do you know? Do you know what athletes they follow, what sports they follow, what things they watch or they don't watch? Can you mine more information that then gives you this persona that you would want in front of the camera, in the microphone, to market your product or service? And then from there, I would say, find a way that incentivizes them to really over-deliver on content. Is it the amount of subscribers that you have for your platform, and they get a piece of that from a commission perspective? And so I would work backwards in that regard. And that should give you not only who you want to talk to, but what you want to talk to them about, so that they are then equipped with the ammo to go have those outbound messaging conversations to really, really drive awareness and traffic to your platform.
Just to add to that too, I mean, I think a great tool, which we didn't mention in the webinar, but the influencer search tab within the Grin platform. Mm-hmm. One way we utilize it is getting specific like retail support location. So for instance, if this particular company has an event in New York, I mean, you can use the influencer search tab, find influencers in New York who like basketball. That's the main feature that I like the best about the Grin platform is the influencer search tab, because you could specifically narrow it down to following, engagement rate. What are their interests? What are they like? Where are they located? And that could help you target a campaign around some specific regions, which we utilize for our retail support as well.
I like that. Okay. Do you pre-screen your ambassadors with, say, a Zoom call to make sure that they are a good fit for your brand? So what does your pre-screening look like?
So typically, once we look at the applicant page, first, are they taking our products? Do they take supplements? Secondly, what is their content like and what is their following like? Obviously, we want anyone who's on our team to be authentic, organic. Like, we tell them, if you don't like a product, don't preach about the product, don't post about the product. Yeah. This is your page. This is your content. We're just giving you the support to continue to do your thing. And I mean, I think the main thing for vetting is, I mean, it's really the content, because you don't really know. We have influencers who have over 100,000 followers, and we have other influencers who have maybe 1,000. And 9 out of 10 times, some of those individuals with the 1,000 followers will perform better because maybe their following, their community is a lot more loyal and listening. Mm-hmm. Again, they probably have more of a personal relationship with their followers than individuals with millions.
Oh, yeah. No, another one too. We have different levels in our business.
Yeah.
You know, we have our nanos, micros, macros, and our partnerships as well. When you have someone that has millions of followers, yes, you're going to have conversations. You're going to get on the phone. We love to do video chats. We love to get to know somebody. I like to get to that point where we talk about the product second or third. And that really gives you a feel for who this person is, because that's a working relationship.
Yeah.
This is someone that's going to be a monthly or annual contract. You're going to be in the trenches together. You want to bet that. Think of it as a business partner.
Yeah.
If it's somebody that is for a campaign or a one-off post, you know, I'd encourage doing the due diligence that you need to feel comfortable that you're giving your limited resources to the right person. And I would also make it very, very clear that you are unpacking as much prescriptive detail as you need to. Here's the deliverables. Here's what we're going to do to support you. Here's what we'd love from you to support us. And make it a win-win. Got to get to that win-win part. And so if we have a conversation with somebody who's at our partnerships level, like one of the paid monthly rates, there's conversations that go into it. There's conversations. We have legal, you know, SOWs that come in. We have sign off from the top. We make sure that we're allocating our resources properly, and it's with the right people that want to do the right thing. But again, like Matt said, it's always making sure that it's rooted in authenticity. I don't care how much you're paying somebody. If they don't use your product and they're not excited about it, you're going to see content that reflects that. And we've got one there where there's just a picture and you're like, that's it. This cost me how much? No one needs that. So I encourage everybody two things: to get very, very prescriptive and intentional with the deliverables that you want. And then two, think about the mediums that they're posting on. You know, if you have somebody that is, you know, going to be supporting a more in-depth medium like a YouTube or Instagram Reels where there's more edits, have the discussion of like, okay, who's doing the edits? Are we getting the raw footage after this is complete? You know, am I able to whitelist this or use this in other places cross-functionally? All of those conversations should come up, because you're going to be able to unpack a lot more value, or at least raise more questions to get you more comfortable with that individual candidate. And that's super important. So absolutely, you know, we're making sure that our ambassadors and our homies, as we always call it, are loving our product, and we're all excited to work together.
It really comes down to having a good vetting process from like the get-go before you get on the line, right? So that you're not going off of a list of 50 people that put just three top-level metrics on. Like, you're diving in before you even get on that call to ensure that this is the call that you want to have with them. And I think that that's really key, because oftentimes I think people get a little scared at the thought of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to talk to how many people to truly have a good program. But again, like, having a stellar vetting process before you get on the line is also part of the entire vetting process as well too. Okay, next question. How many days does it take, say on average, to go through the funnel now that you have scaled the process?
Minutes. I mean, it's all built from the time within an applicant comes in. As long as I see it and respond quickly, I'll accept it. And then all they have to do, the link gets sent to them with the email. They click on their personalized link, and that's where they could submit their proposals for their products. And then once their proposals are submitted, I click another check. The Shopify is already linked and the order is in the system. And then we send that welcome email, and I'll find them on Instagram and send a personalized DM.
Nice.
So it's a matter of just them doing their part, clicking the email, clicking the button, me seeing it on my side and approving it. And it's just literally clicks away from getting the application to onboarding them and joining the team.
Another thing that I'd encourage would be, when you're building your funnel, get a close group of people that are going to nitpick it. Don't give it to people that are just going to be like, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
Get it to people that you don't want to talk to in your company. There's always one. They're usually in finance. Send it to someone in finance. Shout out. I love our finance. I mean, my company card literally probably just got shut off, so that's great. what I would encourage, get a close group or committee together that reviews everything.
Yeah.
Give them no context. You know, if this was someone that was an influencer that's receiving your message for the first time, figure out the bugs, the kinks. One thing that we realized is, since we have three brands and we're sending from one email, it was really important what our display name was.
Yeah.
In our email. So we wanted to make sure that instead of it saying, you know, whatever it was, I think we had collaborations at Nutrabolt.com. It was like, wait a second, we need to change that to like C4 and extend influencer. So it made sense with who was writing that email. So all those little things come up because it's like, hey, is this going to spam? Is this getting blocked? Is this something that I just didn't recognize? That's going to add time to your funnel being completed. So get a group together and test every single step out. Map it out. Test it out, get the committee together to rip it apart and break it apart and rebuild it. And it's going to pay off in spades. And when you get it right, it's going to be awesome. And spoiler alert, you're always going to find optimizations. You will never, ever create the perfect funnel because it's always evolving. And that's the fun of it.
Now, what was the size of your team when you started, and where are you now?
I'll set the starting line as Q4 2020 when I joined the team on here and kind of took over the green space. We have three brands, Cellucor, C4, and Instagram. We only had two people on our social team, kind of dancing back and forth between all three platforms, and myself kind of in the influencer realm. And so three people that were really just interfacing at a one-to-one level, recruiting influencers. I was primarily tasked onboarding people that were our heritage consumer just from my history with the business.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, not only do we have Matt leading the charge with influencers, but I'm here to help with any of those onboarding conversations, unpack some of the product details, just again, from my history with the products. But then we have social media managers for our Cellucor, C4, and Instagram accounts. We have another amazing contractor. Shout out to Aya. She's amazing. She's awesome. She's the glue in our team that also helps with that. Another Matt, which is very confusing, that leads our social team. So that brings us to that total of seven. And then we do have, it's very important, that landing page that we built on our site that we've told our entire company to funnel influencers for. Our CFO, he's on TikTok, which I find amazing. It makes me so happy because I'm really a 9-year-old boy at heart. But he's sending us influencers on TikTok left and right. They're hysterical, by the way. So thank you, Josh. You're the best. But it's just, he knows exactly where to funnel these to. And that takes our team from like seven people in the trenches to over 200 with our company right now because they all know where to scale it to. So seven people total on the day-to-day, but we're getting leads from everyone.
Now, what platform are these 700-plus influencers a part of your team on? Do you house them all in Grin, or do you cross-pollinate?
all of them are within Grin. We need to make room for extra seats. We'll archive some individuals from that activation squad, but keep their emails on a separate template so we don't lose access to them.
Perfect. And how many campaigns do you have running at a time?
So we have ambassadors and activation squad always on. Then we have our social giveaways, C4 Cellular Point Extend, always on. Activation squad, that's six. That's it. We did temporary campaigns for one of our product launches. We have a new product called C4 Smart Energy Natural Zero. It is objectively the best tasting naturally sweetened energy drink on the planet. Yes, shameless plug. No, I'm not sorry because it's amazing. And we did a campaign for nanos, micros, and macros for 2 months in Grin that drove a ton of content. So that one we did set up as a specific, hey, this is for this product launch. We use that to go window shopping in influencer search. Like I talked about, we love that. But then we also recruited from our ambassador and activation squad to also be part of that campaign. So six always on campaigns is how we roll.
Six always on campaigns. I love it. What advice would you give to a startup that carries out 100% of its influencer strategy in-house, which you guys do, but love to hear that top of the line advice?
I think it's all about motivating and, again, building that personal relationship. I mean, in our realm, every single nutritional company is running an ambassador program like this. So it's like, how do you set yourself apart from the competition? And again, it's all those little steps that are big game changers at the end of the day. So it's sending that extra DM, reaching out to them directly, introducing yourself. How can we support you? Sending them products right away, responding to their emails and messages on time. So it's really treating it like a one-on-one relationship. And again, not really so much focusing on sales, but how can you and your team support these individuals?
The other thing that I'd say is, if you're doing everything in-house, there's a level of like the structure, the infrastructure that you want to build. For us, it's the onboarding funnel, but the spirit that we were looking to support with that was, again, automate what we can automate so we can personalize what we want to personalize. Because we know that if we're able to automate a lot of these processes, that personal time that Matt's talking about, that's what's going to differentiate us.
Yeah.
And so I'd say be very aggressive in driving that. Every single thing that you can do that takes up repetitive time, if you do it more than once, you can have it automated. You can have a process for it. There's ways to shave off minutes, which add up to hours, which add up to days that you can spend connecting with these influencers. And the other thing I would do is, if you're doing everything in-house, empower your team with the North Stars that they're able to do autonomously, automatically, without approval. We do the right thing because we know it's the right thing.
Yeah.
So if somebody is, you know, if someone's like out of product, or if we see someone who's, hey, my photographer or a friend of mine who's also like asking about us is, you know, interested in trying a drink, can you send some? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've had people that have reached out to us before in the DMs that have just bought our product for the first time. They're on a weight loss journey, and there's nothing more fun than just sitting at the helm of an account with 350,000 followers and video DMing that person from the brand and saying, like, you're inspiring, you're awesome. What's an address that I can ship some product to? The next round is on us. We're so honored to have you in the family. That's life-changing.
Yeah.
You have to give that empowerment to your team so that they can spread that culture, because, again, people are going to talk about the things that brands do. It's going to make us different. It's going to give us that feeling that we want our customers to have. And that's going to always come back to support us. I strongly believe in that. And again, I've said it before, if you're getting to the point where you're talking about the products and the brand after your friendship, you're doing your job the right way. And, you know, we've had influencers try and be, you know, recruited by other brands, and they've said, absolutely not. Nothing's going to prime me from this team. And that's when you know you're doing your job the right way.
Well, you're also taking the time to create an experience, right? Which I think that it can really be missed. I think a lot of people will approach influencer marketing with like, all right, what are you going to do for me? Versus here you guys continuously say is like, what can we do for each other? It's not just me, it's you. And it is a human to human relationship, which that's how you would treat anybody. You should treat your influencers, your creators, your ambassadors, anybody that is part of your posse as such, right?
Matt and I have a saying that we only operate on win-win situations. And if that's the North Star that you have, the business is going to mysteriously take care of itself.
Are you issuing gift cards for influencers to redeem for product, or are you physically sending them out products? Because if you are sending them out, Do you have a warehouse to send this out, or is it an office team sending the products out?
So at my previous job, so from experience, this is a good question. No gift cards at either of, from my experience in the past and currently. Previously, I was sending all of products out through our warehouse team. I mean, I would physically go out, package them up, and send it out to our influencers, and that'd be extremely time consuming. But now with the Shopify integration with Ingrin, the influencers are able to select and create proposals where they can choose from products that we selected. So all the pricing matches up. And then once they submit that proposal, all it is a click on my side approval, and it goes straight to our packing warehouses with tracking information and everything goes out the door. So it's all, again, automated and simple for me and Greg.
Would you say that if the brand doesn't put the effort to cultivate the relationships with influencers, an amazing tool like Ingrin wouldn't help much either?
I would say, yeah. It depends on a couple things, though. For me personally, that relationship is the keystone to everything. I know Matt's cut from the same cloth, and that's why we jam so well together. If your brand is looking for just content and assets, if it's campaign air support, there are ways that you'd be able to automate and build a platform of like, hey, here's the content we want. Here's what we're going to give you in exchange. Let us know if you want to party with us. There you go. Yeah. Rinse, repeat. And you can accomplish that. So for us, you have to understand in sports nutrition, this is a very personal journey.
Yeah.
Our brand has over 600 global SKUs because we are so focused on being the brand that has a personalized product at every location, at every budget, and with every fitness goal in mind. So when you get into that realm of connection with a person, the relationship is really going to be the differentiator. There's enough brands that just do hold this and flex. We're not into that. We want to be the brand that has the relationship that says, oh, you know, you're preparing for a wedding or a beach photo shoot or something. Now you're on a diet. Let me hook you up with the products that we know are going to help. And hey, talk about them. Tell me what you love about them. And let's tell the world about it. That feel good? It feels good to me. And by the way, it doesn't feel forced or inauthentic. So if you're looking to actually build relationships with people, that's the most critical part is going in and getting into the trenches. To answer the question, like if your goal is just to get content and assets, yeah, there's ways that you can use that. And Ingrin is going to help amplify that. You can go window shopping. You can reach out to a lot of people. You can kind of do that buckshot method, if you will. And that works for some brands.
Yeah.
But in our realm, that personal connection is necessary. These people are putting this product into their body. They are on a physical transformation journey. So we know that we have to be locked in. And truthfully, that's where we want to be.
No, I agree. Matt, do you have anything else to add to that?
I was just going to say, I mean, it all depends on what the company's goals are. I mean, if you really are trying to build like a quote unquote, like sales funnel with this team and really a long-term partnership, then without a doubt, like you have to put in the time and the hours, invest in building that relationship with them. But if like it's something launching a new product for just a specific month or a promo for a month, I mean, yeah. I think you can do a quick turnaround where you're sending out free product or giving away something to kind of build like a short-term influencer team to yeah. help push that sale. But again, it's all part of what the company's goals are. But I definitely think Ingrin is a useful tool, even if you don't want to take the time to build a relationship for like a short-term goal or again, like a product launch.
Yeah, I like that. And I'd also say Ingrin is definitely the right tool in the toolbox, but it's only going to get you to third base. It's not going to get you all the way home. The level of what you put in is what it is that you're going to get out of a program, regardless of the platform, whether you're running it from a spreadsheet, whether you're running it from a platform as robust as Ingrin.
Yeah, it's the megaphone. It's the megaphone. You still have to make sure that you dial in the message that you're putting into it, but that's what it is.
Can you share how you leveraged your activation squad for Prime Day, along with high-level success that you encountered with that strategy?
So for Prime Day, we were able to utilize the Ingrin template tool is another tool I love because, I mean, you could send an email with a click of a button to your entire team. So basically, we synced up with our internal team to figure out what is the specific URL link, where should we drive traffic, where do we want to push all of these followers. So we set up a Ingrin template. We decided to, since these individuals can't earn any commission, like what's in it for them? Mm-hmm. A, possible repost of their content to drive traffic to their page. And nice. Two, free product. So sent out this email template to our entire team. And all we asked for, hey, send us a screenshot of you promoting the Prime Day sale. let us know what flavor, which product you want. And then it's simply as putting that Shopify order in and getting the product out, sending a thank you email. So again, it's just how can they support us? What can we do to support them? And then just rinse and repeat.
I love it. Okay, this is the final question. So you guys are at this home stretch. Unfortunately, as a startup, we can't afford a platform like Grin. What advice would you give to automate, but at the same time, scale your influencer marketing strategy?
So I would challenge you to do this. I would think about the way that you are interacting with customers, super fans, followers, things of that nature, and how are you able to then route them to a place on your website or in your company where you're able to then onboard them to perform like an influencer. You know, I'm not going to, it's going to be, the Grin platform gives us a lot of that infrastructure already set up, which makes that much easier to accomplish. But I would say, you know, look at the funnel that we've built, and I would just say, okay, if we're doing outreach in email to join our program, if we're doing outreach on the, you know, on social posts through the DMs, you know, have people join our influencer program, whatever that looks like, where are you sending them to? Is it a landing page on your website? If it is, cool. Are they filling out a form? If they are, is it a centralized form that has all the information you need? Is it exporting it into one document that you're then able to go through and vet? That pretty much mimics the applicant page.
Yeah.
I would do everything that we unpacked today, but in a scrappier version that you're able to accomplish on your budget. But I will say this, the time that we are able to save in tracking, in sending out products, in automating orders, in the real-time dashboards is just priceless for our business. We love to have real-time data. We love to have a snapshot of what's working, what isn't working, so we can pivot and be nimble. Mm-hmm. And I would also encourage you, when you get to a point where you're able to onboard a platform like Grin, it's something that you need to strongly consider, because this has been a total game changer for our business. You know, we're a team of, you know, single digit people in this digital organization representing three of the biggest brands in sports nutrition.
Yeah.
Normally in years past, this would be a team of 40 or 50, and we're doing it with a team of 7. But it's because we have this tool that we're able to connect and amplify, you know, at light speed. So I would urge you, think backwards. If you're an influencer or somebody on social that is getting reached out to from this brand, what white glove service can you build to make each step of that interaction elevated and one that somebody would be excited to work with? So I literally think it's mimic what we did with this funnel, because there's principles in there that are tried and true. It's human nature. And I would build that route, but then when you're able to onboard something like Grin, like there's a lot of stuff you didn't talk about today. Matt talked about the influencer search, the templates, you know, the real-time dashboards and things like that. Like, it's going to be critical when your business is at that transformative growth to have something like that to give you the guidance and the North Star that you need.
I love it. Well, I want to thank you guys both for taking so much time out of your day to just kind of share all of your learnings from a kick-ass program that you have. So I really do appreciate you both, Greg and Matt. Thank you again so much for joining for the fireside chat that we had earlier, as well as extending it for the unanswered questions that we weren't able to get to.
Absolutely. No, honored to be here. Honored to be part of the Grinfluencer program. Having fun with that. And getting in and just pushing all the buttons, figuring out what works, figuring out what doesn't work, breaking a couple things every now and then. It's just what it takes. Don't be afraid of it. Just get after it.
Yep. Agreed. Thank you. And again, we're still learning, but Grin has definitely made my life simpler for sure.
I love it. That's what we want to hear. Thank you guys so much.
I hope that you gained lots of insights. It's always so great to hear from marketers who are really in the trenches of influencer marketing and learn from their story. You want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. And give us a rating. Leave us a review. If you're interested in watching the Building and Scaling an Influencer Marketing Machine Fireside Chat or other brands that we've featured in the past, like LoomCube, Organifi, Trifecta, Tubby Todd, and more, visit the live events section at grin.co. Check out our resources and blogs while you're there for more tips, tricks, and marketing trends. And until next time, keep grinning.